What if the greatest threat to freedom comes not from obvious tyrants, but from philosophers promising perfect justice? During World War II, while fascism and communism ravaged Europe, an exiled philosopher in New Zealand traced humanity's totalitarian impulse back to its most revered source, Plato himself. Karl Popper's explosive thesis that Western civilization's most celebrated thinker was actually democracy's enemy shocked the academic world. Yet his argument reveals something unsettling about our present moment. Every time we hear calls to restore order, to return to traditional values, or to submit to leaders who claim special wisdom, we're hearing echoes of arguments that have justified tyranny for millennia. Understanding this pattern isn't just intellectual exercise, it's survival knowledge for citizens navigating an age of resurgent authoritarianism. Picture two villages. In the first, tribal customs dictate everything: marriage, work, worship. No moral dilemmas exist because tradition answers all. In the second, laws protect basic rights. But between legal boundaries and fading traditions lies uncomfortable space where individuals must decide how to live. This freedom brings possibility and anxiety. This contrast captures humanity's deepest revolution, the shift from closed to open society. Closed societies function like organisms, unified by magical thinking and unquestioned traditions. Open societies create space for individual choice and personal responsibility. Ancient Athens pioneered this when sea trade undermined tribal institutions. As Pericles proclaimed, "Our administration favors the many instead of the few." Yet this openness provoked fierce resistance. Privileged classes feared losing status. Even the formerly oppressed felt disoriented by collapsing certainties. This tension between freedom's promise and tradition's comfort defines every political struggle since. Open society demands constant effort, critical thinking, foregoing tribal bonds, accepting uncertainty. Many find this burden unbearable and long for closed society's false security.
For centuries, scholars idealized Plato's Republic as enlightened justice. Poppers saw it as totalitarian blueprint. His controversial claim, Plato deliberately rejected humanitarian values to justify permanent class rule. Plato's definition of justice, that which is in the interest of the best state, means rigid hierarchy, where the ruler rules, the worker works, and the slave slaves. This contradicts the Greek democratic view that justice is equality. His collectivism declares, "You are created for the sake of the whole, and not the whole for the sake of you. Individual happiness matters only for state stability. Even truth becomes negotiable." While claiming philosophers love truth, Plato grants rulers the royal privilege to lie while punishing citizens for dishonesty. Most disturbing is Plato's noble lie, the myth of blood and soil. God supposedly put different metals into classes: gold in rulers, silver in auxiliaries, base metals in workers. Any mixing produces variation and absurd irregularity that destroys the city, racialist thinking opposing his era's democratic spirit. Why must philosophers rule permanently? The philosopher king's primary function isn't wisdom seeking, but eugenic breeding. Only philosophers perceive the divine form of man. Not what's common to all humans, but a godlike original. Through selective breeding, they must create a race most constant, most virile, and most beautifully formed. Without philosopher-supervised breeding, even a perfect state degenerates racially. Behind this theory lurks personal ambition. The philosopher king becomes Plato's self-portrait, his claim to godlikeness. Utopian engineering implements an ideal state through comprehensive blueprints rather than addressing specific problems incrementally, like demolishing a neighborhood before showing plans. Plato advocated expelling all citizens over 10 to start fresh. History echoes this catastrophic approach: Cambodia's Year Zero, Mao's Cultural Revolution, Stalin's five-year plans promised perfection but delivered mass suffering. By contrast, piecemeal engineering tackles concrete problems through adjustable reforms, gradual healthcare improvements, incremental educational changes, targeted poverty reduction. Utopian engineering faces critical flaws. Suppressed criticism prevents learning whether measures succeed. Sweeping changes outlast their creators, triggering power struggles. Ideals shift during implementation. Without rational methods to determine ultimate aims, disagreements between utopian engineers inevitably turn violent. Plato's utopianism stems from aestheticism, the desire to build not merely a better world, but a perfectly beautiful one. The 20th century's totalitarian experiments demonstrated the human cost, vindicating the wisdom of gradual, reversible reforms over sweeping transformation. When Plato's aristocratic arguments lost appeal, Hegel rebranded monarchy as the constitution of developed reason. His dialectic concluded that Prussia represents the highest peak of freedom, where absolutist government preserves the purest spirit of freedom. By identifying the real with the rational, whatever succeeds becomes justified. History becomes Providence's thought process, reason toward world perfection. This historicism, belief that history unfolds according to discoverable laws, provided intellectual justification for totalitarianism. Hegel's great man became the leader principle central to fascism, possessing insight into the requirements of the time, while followers obey their irresistible power. Despite invoking reason, Hegel ends in apotheosis of brutal force, where great state builders justify cruelty because so mighty a form must trample down many an innocent flower. Marx represents a more complex case. While Popper criticizes Marx's historicism, he acknowledges Marx's humanitarian impulse and genuine concern for suffering. Marx's error was confusing scientific prediction with large-scale historical prophecy. His three-step prophecy, capitalism concentrates wealth while increasing worker misery, classes polarize, leading to revolution, workers' victory produces a classless society. This prophecy failed. Democratic interventionism created a middle path, implementing Marx's recommendations without revolutionary upheaval. Working conditions improved rather than deteriorated. Most importantly, workers' victory didn't necessarily produce a classless society. Classes aren't like individuals, and their unity stems from struggle against common enemies. Plato's and Marx's approaches share a fatal flaw. Historicism misunderstands scientific laws. Science allows conditional predictions. If X occurs, then Y will follow. But historicism attempts unconditional prophecies about unique historical events. Such prophecies are impossible because history is influenced by knowledge growth, and we cannot predict future discoveries without making them now, a logical impossibility. Historicism also breeds dangerous moral passivity. By claiming historical development follows inevitable laws, it suggests human choices don't matter. We merely accelerate what would happen anyway. This shifts responsibility from individual moral decisions towards supposed historical forces. History has no intrinsic meaning. What we call the history of mankind is selective narrative focused on political power, largely the history of international crime and mass murder. We could equally write histories of art, language, or diseases. Facts gain meaning only through our decisions. Historicism attempts to escape this responsibility by suggesting we need only follow history's path. But true religion and science both emphasize our responsibility for actions and consequences. Progress depends not on historical inevitability, but on our watchfulness and realistic choices through piecemeal social engineering, addressing specific problems through careful reforms that can be evaluated and adjusted. Every generation faces this crossroads. One path promises certainty through submission: follow the leader, trust the expert, return to traditional order. The other offers freedom's burden. Think critically, accept uncertainty, take responsibility. The first leads to the closed society, where tribal belonging replaces individual conscience. The second maintains the open society, where reason and dialogue resolve conflicts. This is moral commitment, not mere intellectual choice. Rationalism means listening to critical arguments, admitting I may be wrong and you may be right, believing discussion can approach truth. True rationalism is Socratic, aware of limitations, intellectually modest, resting on faith in reason itself. Irrationalism breeds dangerous consequences. When constructive emotions fail, only destructive ones remain: fear, hatred, violence. History has no inherent meaning, but we can impose our own through our fight for the open society, for reason, justice, freedom, equality. Neither nature nor history dictates what we ought to do. The future depends on our vigilance, clarity, and responsibility. As technological change accelerates and populist movements promise simple solutions, the temptation to retreat into tribal certainties grows stronger. Yet the open society isn't a utopian endpoint, but an ongoing project, requiring each generation's commitment to reason, freedom, and human dignity.